Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Social Protection Minister is bringing a memo to Cabinet tomorrow which could bring in pay-related welfare and pensions for long-term carers. Letterkenny Hospital Campaign Group says it's important that momentum is maintained in the campaign to secure improvements at Letterkenny University Hospital. The UN is warning Earth is on course for 3 degrees of warming. That's been described as hellish in a report issued ahead of COP28 next week. And the Northwest region has the highest detection rate for dangerous or negligent acts in the country, according to CSO figures. Later, Roisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin this evening with the Social Protection Minister, Heather Humphreys, who said this afternoon it's only fair that those who lose their jobs after years of employment are given an enhanced social welfare payment. Heather Humphreys is bringing a memo to Cabinet tomorrow which seeks to introduce pay-related welfare. She's also looking for approval for a new pension for family carers who've looked after a loved one for more than 20 years. Minister Humphreys says people who are laid off could receive extra money based on their previous income.
This is because I think it's a fairer system that those who have paid all their life, who have worked all their lives, to find themselves in the awful position where they have lost their job, that they would get an enhanced benefit.
The Letterkenny Hospital Campaign Group says it's important that momentum is maintained in the campaign to secure improvements at the hospital. It's asking patients who've attended the hospital recently to outline their experiences. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly is due at the hospital later this week in response to serious issues raised by GPs and consultants over patient safety in the emergency department and elsewhere. Now the Hospital Campaign Group is hosting a public meeting on Thursday week, November 30th, at the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. The group's chair, Mary T. Sweeney, says there are many individual stories out there which need to be heard.
We've had lots of people contact us since the last meeting in January, and they all have their own independent concerns that they wish to express. So we thought the fairest thing to do was to invite people to come along and to bring their story, their personal experience, in a written form that we can gather them together and present them to the Minister for Health so that everybody's story is heard.
And this adds to the expressions of concerns that have been raised by Donegal GPs and consultants, and it kind of compounds the issues that they are raising, and hopefully eventually Minister Donnelly will listen.
Well, we have also written out to the GPs to provide the forum for them for a limited number of guest speakers to include them, and there have been advocacy groups that have agreed to speak on the floor from a health professional perspective, that we can get an open forum, that if everybody can't speak from the floor on the night to ask questions, that if they bring that question, they bring that personal experience, then we will make sure it gets into the hands of the right people.
And as part of the Letterkenny Campaign Group, what do you believe now needs to be done immediately and in the long term?
Well, I think if the government only talks to one side of the concern group, which is the medical corps, then they must also look at the community as well to bring all those concerns together to really discern what has to be addressed and what has to be a priority to have a more successful hospital that we can all have confidence in.
And that was Mary T. Sweeney speaking there to Michaela Clark. The United Nations is warning Earth is on course for 3 degrees of warming, which has been described as hellish. A report's been released today ahead of COP28, which starts next week in the United Arab Emirates. With more, here's Tom Douglas.
Multiple temperature records have been set globally in 2023, including in Ireland, where Met Éireann recently recorded highs for the month of October. A report has found current emission-cutting policies will achieve a 3-degree warming of the planet. There's an international agreement to restrain that increase above pre-industrial levels to 1.5 degrees, with scientists saying more severe and adverse weather conditions can be expected. Temperatures so far are measured to be 1.4 degrees above the target. The study says to achieve 1.5 degrees, there must be a 42% reduction in emissions, which is equivalent to the output of the 5 worst emitters. Those are China, the USA, India, Russia and Japan.
The Northwest region has the highest detection rate for dangerous or negligent acts in the country. According to CSO data released today, 192 incidents were recorded per 100,000 people in the region last year. With more details from that comprehensive report, here's Michaela Clark.
Latest figures from the Central Statistics Office have revealed that the Northwest region recorded the second highest number of sexual offence detections in Ireland per 100,000 people at 72. Meanwhile, 471 attempts and threats to murder, assaults, harassments and related offences were recorded in the region, the highest figure outside of Dublin. 22 robbery, extortion and hijacking offences were detected, 129 burglary crimes, 633 in relation to thefts and 198 in connection with fraud and deception. 201 controlled drug offences were detected per 100,000 people in the Northwest, 327 damage to property and the environment offences, and 583 public order and other social code offences. In terms of homicide, one case was registered, three kidnappings, 192 dangerous and negligent acts, and 135 offences against government, justice procedures and organisations of crime.
It's been recommended that an extra seat be allocated to the Midlands Northwest European constituency ahead of next June's European Parliament elections. The Midlands Northwest will be expanded to include the counties of Laois and Offaly. Following a month-long public consultation, the Electoral Commission concluded that an additional 14th MEP be allocated for the upcoming elections, stemming from Ireland's growing population and EU rules on the European Parliament's composition. That will bring the constituency from a four-seater to a five-seater constituency. Among those who've signalled their intention to seek a nomination for the elections next year is Donegal Fianna Fáil Senator Niall Binney. The Cathaoirleach of the Glenlees Municipal District is calling on Donegal County Council to avoid cutting back on its social housing plans because of escalating business costs. It's emerged that two fewer social houses are to be built in a scheme in Dunloe than was originally planned because of price inflation. Councillor Michael McClafferty says what's happening in the Glenlees Municipal District could happen in any of the five other MDs next week.
This is a plan the County Council have come up with over in Dunloe, where there are 45, Chapel Road and the Low, 45 and cut to 43. And the reality is here, this is going to be approached right around all of the MDs right around the county. Come a few months' time when other house estates and so on have been planned, you could end up with 10, 12 houses being shelved due to inflation. That's not acceptable.
Members of the public are being urged to have their say on the proposed Barnesmore Gap Greenway. A public consultation is underway in Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet today. It takes place until 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, a similar event takes place from midday until 8 o'clock at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. Donegal County Council is inviting local residents, landowners and other interested parties to take part on the consultation. Councillor Patrick McGowan believes the project will come to fruition because he says it's garnered so much support.
Obviously, Barnesmore Gap is a very iconic location. It's pretty much following the route of the old railway, but not necessarily. It just depends how the consultation and the planning. Now, this has been started some time ago. Funding have been allocated by the department, and we're now into the route selection. This is the second part of phase two, where they actually have an emerging preferred route, so they do have an idea now of where the route is, and it is pretty much following the railway line. There will be some challenges trying to get into the centre of Donegal Town, and there will also be some challenges trying to get into the centre of Ballybuffet. They want to link up populated centres and that, as well as people using them, stopping along the greenway. But it is something I'm very, very delighted at the speed, something I and other groups have been lobbying for a few years. We set up different groups to try and push for this and similar projects within this area, that there will be other attractions along this route. So it's very, very important that landowners or anybody lives near it, but also the general public come in, and I obviously would be very supportive of it. But look, there will be people who have various issues and questions to ask, and there is a team of engineers there, both from Donegal County Council and the TAA, and this is something that's really exciting. It's the fact that the TAA is so much for this, and I do believe of a lot of the projects that are out there, this is one that's very likely to go ahead because it's getting big support nationally from the TIA and the County Council.
And that was Councillor Patrick McGowan. 25 men's sheds in Donegal are to receive €3,000 each. to help them with running costs, including electricity, heating, utility and insurance bills. It's part of a national €1 million fund to support men's sheds across the country. The chief executive of the Irish Men's Shed Association is Enda Egan.
Sometimes people get the impression that men's sheds are about, you know, big kind of workshops and carpentry and stuff like that. That's not the case at all. The most important tool in the shed actually is the kettle, and some sheds have two or three kettles. So it's important to show men that men's sheds are out there. They're there to help with things like isolation. They're there to help men, usually at a time of transition in their lives. So that can be an illness, it can be retirement, it could be the death of a loved one.
Social media platforms are not doing enough to stop the spread of mistrust and disinformation. That's the view of the Institute of Strategic Dialogue's Digital Analysis Unit. It's released a new report today showing how far the right profiles are easily using social media to spread hateful ideologies and fake news. One of the report's authors, Aoife Gallagher, says there are laws in place to tackle this content, but it's still very difficult to police.
What we kind of wanted to do was kind of lay out, like, this is the state of affairs at the moment, really. These are the issues that we're dealing with. And then hopefully with these, you know, different pieces of regulation and legislation that are coming in, that hopefully we'll be able to kind of tackle these issues in some kind of a meaningful way. The Online Safety and Media Regulation Act, which also has provisions to kind of counter this kind of activity.
Speeding in the Lismonahan area of Letterkenny is back under the spotlight. A speed assessment survey was carried out in the area earlier this year. It revealed 85% of motorists were travelling at a speed of 52 kilometres an hour. Donegal County Council says the speed isn't excessive, but the Cathaoirleach of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, Councillor Kevin Bradley, fears someone will lose their life if action isn't taken. He's repeated a call for traffic calming measures to be installed.
A massive issue in there. I was talking to one man there, and he's afraid to let his children even walk down the road there, for they're coming. On account of the traffic, they're using that road to come to Letterkenny. And they're coming down that hill at top speed. I was asking them for speeding cameras, but the council said they'd done a survey back in April, and over 80% was all travelling around 53 kilometres an hour. Even 53 kilometres an hour on that stretch is too high. But everybody can't be wrong. I'm not the first councillor brought this up. This motion's brought up more times than enough.
And although they said the speed wasn't excessive, it could still cause a lot of harm if someone was to be hit by a passing car.
Oh, you know yourself. Children out playing on the road. It's dangerous.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with great gift ideas for everyone on your list this Christmas, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time on Highland Radio, 16 minutes past five. Time for sports news. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with local football. Funaharps Academy player Oisín Cooney has signed a two-year deal at Finn Park. The Ireland underage international made his debut for the club against Bray Wanderers last month. Harps boss Darren Murphy says that he is a great example to younger players, showing the opportunities that are there to progress through the academy and into the senior team. On the international front, Nathan Collins is out of the Republic of Ireland's friendly with New Zealand tomorrow night. The Brentford defender suffered an ankle injury in Saturday night's defeat to the Netherlands. Manager Stephen Kenny says he doesn't know if tomorrow will be his last game in charge, with his contract now up. And with 41,000 tickets said to be sold for tomorrow's friendly, the manager believes the public remain behind the team.
You know, it's not many countries in Europe getting that good of crowds for some of the lesser nations that we're getting. And it's a credit to the team, it's a credit to the players that they really, you know, okay, results have been up and down, but certainly they identify with the players and raise great identification with the team, with the support there, which is fantastic.
Under 21 manager Jim Crawford says he has no issues with Andrew Moran being called into the senior squad. The unknown Blackburn player was withdrawn from the under 21 squad that lost narrowly to Norway on Friday to join up with the senior panel. Speaking ahead of tomorrow's qualifier with Italy and Cork, Crawford dismissed criticism of the Moran call up and backed him to feature against New Zealand. There's a winner-takes-all game in Group C of the Euro qualifiers tonight. Whoever prevails in the meeting of Ukraine and Italy in Leverkusen will finish second in the group behind England and return to Germany in the summer. England themselves conclude their campaign away to North Macedonia. Moldova could qualify for a first-ever major finals if they won away to the Czech Republic. The Czechs are top of the group ahead of Albania with a win tonight. In Group H, Northern Ireland finish at home to Denmark. behind the Danes, it's between Slovakia and Kazakhstan to take the remaining qualifying berth. On to Gaelic games. St Union's bid to win a first Ulster title in hurling came to a disappointing end yesterday as the Donegal club lost out in the Ulster Junior Final by 216 to 115 against Castleblaney, and the decider played in Dungannon. St Union's manager is Paddy Flood, and despite the defeats, the Letterkenny boss says that the future is bright given the amount of young players that they rolled out this season.
What was huge for us this year was that a number of young lads started today who weren't part of the starting team over the last couple of years, and we've needed them because we've had a lot of changes and they've been absolutely fantastic. And we're just, as I said, a huge plus for us getting into the Ulster and to be playing hurling at this stage of the year is, in many ways, quite a lot of new players in the team to try and develop how they give them experience at this level and to develop a way of playing high-level hurling.
Elsewhere in the Ulster Trail yesterday, Dunloe came up short in their Ladies Junior Football Championship final, losing 2-11 to 1-13 to Lavey of Derry at Haley Park in Omagh. It was a case of so near and so far for Dunloe. Their manager is Tony Boyle.
As I said, this was all bonus territory, but hey, when you get to an Ulster final and you're 60 minutes away from being Ulster champions, we really wanted to win this, you know, and I felt, as I said, long periods we were the better team, and listen, it wasn't to be too many wides. Probably the breaks of the ball went against us, you know, we had to work a wee bit harder, as I say, for free kicks, but all in all, we didn't get over the line, and that's the disappointing thing.
And there'll be more GA talk tonight in the DL debate, the championship presented by Brendan Devaney. He'll be joined by former county hurler Eugene Organ and Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News to recap the weekend's Ulster hurling and football games for Donegal sides. While recently retired Tyrone star Ronan McNamee will also reflect on his inter-county career. Turning our attention now to athletics, and Finn Valley's Amy Green has a European under-20 cross-country championships in Brussels to look forward to. The DCU student took silver in the under-20 race at the National Senior Cross-Country Championships, which were held in Gowran in Kilkenny on a Sunday. It was a big day for the Dunloe girl, who ran very impressively and will now wear the Ireland jersey in Brussels for the European Cross. It was also a good day for Caelan McFadden of Cranford AC. He won gold in the under-18 race. Oran McBertie of Finn Valley took silver in the under-16 race, and Finn Valley's under-14s also won a team silver medal there. Finally, we go to rugby. There's good news for Leinster ahead of Saturday's URC showdown with Munster. Prop Ed Byrne has returned to full training following a hamstring injury. Michael Mayne is on the brink of a comeback and will have a shoulder injury assessed this week, while Cian Healy will step up his training load following a shoulder problem of his own. And that's the sport for the moment here in Highland. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Elderly people in one estate in Letterkenny are effectively trapped in their homes during the winter months as they're afraid to leave because of a lack of lighting. Residents in Muckish Avenue are said to feel unsafe as there are no external lights in the area. It's led to calls from Councillor Jerry McMonagall on Donegal County Council to install additional lighting as a matter of urgency.
I've been contacted by a number of residents in Muckish who are in the OPD houses there, and they were saying now the dark nights are in, that there isn't sufficient lights in the estate. As a result, they're a bit fearful about going out the doors after 5 o'clock in the evening. I went round myself and looked at it a couple of nights, and the place is in complete darkness. There is no street lights at that part of the estate. So I brought forward the motion that we would, as a matter of urgency, install further lighting to protect and give confidence to the elderly people who are living in those houses.
And a council spokesperson did say that it could be looked at under the lighting programme, but this could take months, and effectively these people are trapped in the meantime.
That there was the normal sort of response we would get, put it under the lighting and footpath programme. As I said at the meeting, I don't think that's good enough. I think this is a matter of urgency. These people have been living here for a long, long number of years, and the lighting is totally insufficient now, and we need to restore their confidence and make them feel safe in their homes, and indeed when they leave their homes they go to the local shop or to visit neighbours. So I've asked the council to look at this and see if we can speedily put these lamps, these street lights in place, and then maybe make the application on the back of that. But look, it's important that we act urgently and quickly on this matter, and we restore the confidence and safety of the residents in those houses.
Councillor Gerry McMonagall there. Higher Education Minister Simon Harris has told the Dáil the government is committed to promoting education on an all-island basis, and as part of that commitment, he'd like to see the €1,000 reduction in student contribution fees extended to students studying north of the border and elsewhere. The issue was raised in the Dáil by Cavan Monaghan Deputy Brendan Smith. He told the Minister that initiatives like the funding of the McGee campus in Derry show what can be done. He said that spirit of cooperation now needs to be extended to cost-cutting measures, which some students are currently being denied.
I raise again the need to enable higher education students studying outside this state avail of the €1,000 reduction in student contribution fees. Minister, you confirmed to me in a PQ reply that this measure was one of the package of measures to help households with increased cost of living. Families here, regardless of their children's study location, have similar cost of living pressures, and students who have had to avail of courses outside this state should not be disadvantaged even further by failing to include them in this measure. I highlighted this issue last year regarding students studying in Northern Ireland and elsewhere who were denied this payment and similarly denied the tax credit as well. If we are to improve and encourage student mobility, our administrative systems must adapt and change and ensure a level playing field for all students. This government is quite rightly supporting a range of major capital projects in Northern Ireland, and that shows clearly that where there is a will, there is a way to do things.
It is something that we've yet to find a resolution for, but I will accept your challenge to engage with broader government colleagues on this to see if there is a way. We have, as a government, I believe, done more on all-island education than perhaps ever before. The expansion of McGee and Derry, ensuring Northern Ireland students can continue to benefit from Erasmus, ring-fenced places in nursing, medicine and therapies in Northern Ireland for students from down south. This is one that we've hit a bit of a roadblock on, but I will engage directly with you and see if we can overcome it.
Weather forecast, Dan Metairn tells us it'll be cold tonight with showers dying out, long clear spells developing in lowest temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees Celsius, frost in places as northwest breezes fall light overland, cold and dry to start tomorrow with hazy sunshine developing. It'll stay largely dry for the remainder of the day, but increased amount of cloud are expected. Highest temperatures on Tuesday, 8 to 11 degrees Celsius. That's Highland Radio News. Let's take a look at the closing headlines before we take our leave. The Social Protection Minister says it's only fair that those who lose their jobs after years of employment are given an enhanced social welfare payment. Heather Humphreys is bringing a memo to Cabinet tomorrow suggesting pay-related welfare and a pension for family carers who've looked after a loved one for more than 20 years. The Letterkenny Hospital Campaign Group says it's important that momentum is maintained in the campaign to secure improvements at the hospital, and it's asking patients who've attended to outline their experiences. It comes ahead of a visit to the hospital later this week by the Health Minister. The UN is warning Earth is on course for 3 degrees of warming. That's been described as hellish. A report's been released by the UN ahead of COP22, which starts next week in the UAE. And there are the headlines. We're back with news. Headlines again at 6. You can check all the stories, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 20th of November. The death has taken place of Ruby McConnell, née Elliott, 28, Glebe Park, Sion Mills, reposing at her home from 7:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon at 2:15, for 3 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, followed by interment in St. Mary's Cemetery, Melmount. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.ie. The death has taken place of Mary Doherty, Devlin Rea, Carrigart. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there going to the Church of St. John the Baptist on Wednesday morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the Meva Parish Facebook page. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of John Conway, 131 Donabow Road, Altishane, Dunamana, reposing at the family home, St. Patrick's Lodge, 38 Brook Road, Dunamana, from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Killina, Dunamana, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via Donaghadee Parish YouTube channel. The death has taken place of Jim Russell, O'Halenty, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his home with the house private pleas to family, friends and neighbours. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon at 1:15, going to Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, for service at 2:00, with burial afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Seamus McGrory, Sheldon, Birmingham, England, formerly of Drummondderry, Buncrana. Funeral will take place at a later date in St Thomas More Church, Sheldon, Birmingham, with burial in Whitney Manor Cemetery, Solihull. The death has occurred of Teresa Burke, née Coyle, Beechwood Nursing Home, Loughlin Bridge, Carlow, formerly of Newton Cunningham, Donegal. Teresa's remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, from 6:00 to 8:00 this evening. Funeral Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, at 11:00 tomorrow morning, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Michael Mickey Bradley, Liz Fannin, Fawn. Michael's remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11:00 Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11:00 tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Anne Stewart, née Quinn, 55 Crohan Heights, Lifford, formerly of Brocca, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, at 11. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.